Argument is Geschwind v. Heiden. Mr. Geschwind.
Good morning, Your Honors. If it pleases the Court and Counsel, my name is Sean Geschwind, and I am the pro se plaintiff in this case. Your Honors, I am here because the District Court dismissed my case with coming to a conclusion that the disorderly conduct complaint was signed as a perceived victim of a crime and out of a concern for his own personal safety. My research indicates that the problem with this conclusion is that the record doesn't support that the disorderly conduct complaint was signed solely for personal reasons, specifically solely as a perceived victim of a crime or solely out of a concern for their own personal safety. One thing I want to note before I proceed is that the important part of this case, really one important piece of information, is that the initial meeting I had with Officer Bauman was on December 22nd. However, the disorderly conduct complaint was not signed until 19 days later, which was on January 10. And quite a bit occurred between those times. Now, the case law that I've cited in my brief makes it clear that regarding motivation, we have to look at the time the speech occurred, whether...
What about the defendant's argument that because these juvenile proceedings are under seal, you couldn't really communicate to the world your concern about the conduct of this child?
My response to that, Your Honor, would be that I can't recall the actual citations of the case law, but that the case law is that you don't have, for something to be of public concern, it does not have to be something that has to be communicated to the world. There are very specific instances. For example, an employer could just communicate something to their supervisor, and even though they don't go beyond that, it could still be a matter of public concern. Does that answer your question?
Could you have referred publicly to the fact that a child had been arrested for misconduct in school without mentioning his name? Do you know whether that would be permissible?
I do not know the answer to that, Your Honor.
Could you have simply told a reporter that this particular named child made this threat to you?
Oh, I believe I could have, yes. I did not go to the media. I just went to the police department. And
I take it if you had gone to the media, everyone would agree that this was a matter of public concern.
Yes, they would. There was a story on a local newspaper that a local newspaper had, and the story appeared online, and there were some 60 comments on it. So the public did seem to be concerned with what occurred.
Do we have that in the record?
No, you don't.
What is now? This occurs in Harvard, Illinois.
Yes, Your Honor.
What is Harvard like?
It is a small town, approximately 9,000 people. It is rapidly growing, though. The school system is rapidly growing.
Is this a suburb or a rural town?
I would say that nowadays it's becoming more suburbanized, although it's approximately 10 miles beyond Woodstock. So it's in between Woodstock and Rockford. It is still largely rural, but it's rapidly suburbanizing, especially with the housing boom that occurred. Okay. Now, the defendants do make some statements to try to support the court's findings. However, their supporting citations, they only cover the conversation, only cover the contents of the conversation that occurred on December 22nd. They ask very little about what happened on the 10th when the complaint was actually signed. Now, this matters quite a bit because, like I said, quite a bit happened between the 22nd and the 10th. For example, I performed a lot of research on the issue. The student came back to my class, and I was unharmed and remained unharmed. I had a meeting with defendants Heiden and Shields on the 5th of January where we discussed the issue, and that is where I claim they tried to talk me out of signing the complaint. The next day, the 6th of January, I met with an employment attorney, Dennis Favaro. Then I had a second meeting on the 10th with Officer Bauman, and we had quite a bit of conversations about concerns that I had regarding the signing of the complaint. I had not decided yet, and it took the final conversation between myself and Officer Bauman to motivate me to actually sign the complaint. And that is quite important. Now, regarding being a crime victim, the defendants only ask whether I acted as a crime victim on the 22nd. Nowhere in the record do they ask about acting as a crime victim on the 10th. Being a crime victim, we have Elmhurst v. Pearson and thus Restatement 2nd of Torts, which says that legitimate public concern extends to victims and other individuals who unwillingly become involved in the commission of a crime or its prosecution. Also, this particular circuit has many decisions that I write about in my brief regarding speech that relates to police protection and public safety as being as addressing matters of public concern. Also, when you talk about signing the complaint, I went against the wishes of my superiors to do so. That was hardly in my personal interest.
Mr. Gershwin, when was the first time that your supervisors gave you to your face a negative critique of your job performance?
The day after I signed the complaints. That was the first time. And I'd like to point out that in the brief, it's made clear, and this is in the record, that my first evaluation for that school year was on November 14th. The day after I met with Defendant Shields and had a post-observation meeting where we signed a post-observation meeting form, and this is in the record, there is the plain language of that. There is absolutely nothing within that that says that I was doing anything wrong or that I was in jeopardy in any way, that my job was in jeopardy of any way. I was in jeopardy of receiving an unsatisfactory evaluation. The first time that ever happened was on the day after I signed the complaint.
The observation was in November?
It was on November 14th. The post-observation was on the 15th. The song was sung on the 21st of December. The first meeting with Officer Baum was on the 22nd. The meeting between Hayden Shields and myself was on the 5th, and then the complaint was signed on the 10th. And I received my first unsatisfactory evaluation on the 11th of January.
Can I just back up for a second?
Yes.
At the beginning of that sequence, okay, November 14th, there's the observation for purposes of evaluation. And the next day, the 15th, there's an oral feedback. Is that the way that worked?
It was oral and written.
And written. And
yes.
Was that negative or critical of you?
Absolutely nothing. And that written part is in the record. There's nothing in there to indicate that there's anything wrong. Okay. Also, on pages 123 and 124 of my deposition, I make it clear that my motivations for signing was because disorderly conduct had occurred in the classroom, and because of what I felt were the existence of public safety issues. Explicitly, I say in the deposition that any perceived threat by a single student towards me was only part of what I consider to be the public safety issues.
And that might mean you preserve the rest of the time for rebuttal, if you want to save the rest.
Yes, Your Honor, I would like to save the rest of my time for rebuttal. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Gershwin.
Thank you.
Mr. Barasha?
Your Honors, may I please the Court, Mr. Gershwin. William Barasha, Your Honor. On behalf of the defendants, the Board of Education.
Do teachers in the school system have any duty to report criminal conduct they observe or other misbehavior?
I don't know as a matter of policy, Judge, whether that would be the case. But it would seem to me that any teacher who thinks that there's a crime involving public safety or where other students, staff, or the safety of any persons within a school building are at risk, I would think that the teacher does have a duty.
So why does he get this negative evaluation?
Well, Your Honor, I would summarize it best the way Ms. Hayden put it in hers. And I think explicitly in Mr. Shields' evaluation as well. It was a matter of, in essence, if you will, collegiality. Ms. Hayden mentions that Mr. Gishwin's interpersonal skills, not just with students, but with staff and fellows.
This was a very sudden change from this November 14th, November 15th.
It may have been a change from prior year's evaluations, Judge, but...
Well, this wasn't prior year. Well, I mean, literally prior year. But this was just a couple of months ago. Apparently he was a satisfactory teacher. What happened to make him suddenly unsatisfactory?
Well, in Ms. Hayden's view, again, it was Mr. Gishwin's interpersonal skills.
Well, the way this case comes to us, though, the district judge didn't throw this case out on a causation theory, right?
Correct.
The district judge assumed causation, and I would think that we have to as well, given the sudden change in the plaintiff's status. So it comes down to whether this is protected speech or not. Right?
That's exactly the way.
Does the plaintiff's subjective intent make a difference in that case, you know, for that question? Or is it an objective test since it's supposed to be a question of law?
Well, Judge, I think that it should be purely an objective standard. And whether, if I understand your question, whether Mr. Gishwin may believe that he was speaking out for what he perceived or believed was a matter of public safety.
Okay, well, let's take that, just take it a step at a time, okay? Because you all relied very heavily on subjective evidence from his deposition testimony where you asked him, and he gave you the answer you wanted for the December 22nd purposes. And he said, yeah, that was solely because of my status as a victim, right?
Yes.
Now, that probably shouldn't matter, should it, if it's an objective test?
That would be correct. I think it's both an objective and subjective test.
Wait a minute.
You can't have it.
Tell me what you think it is.
Well, in the context of his motive for making the complaint, and looking to the, well, his motive for making this particular complaint, the content of which was a disorderly conduct complaint against a 12 or 13-year-old student who sang or in rap fashion said, get up quick this morning or at about noon, I stab Gristwind, et cetera. He flew like a balloon. It's a rap song.
We have to assume that it was, in fact, a threat?
No, not at all. I don't believe so at all.
Oh.
How do you know? What are you talking about?
I don't think it's a threat, Judge.
What's your basis for saying you don't think it's a threat?
I think it, when you look at...
What is your basis?
Because this student is doing an assignment...
He's apparently attacked other people.
Judge, there's no basis in the record for that other than... In the record, Mr. Gishwin said his personal knowledge of this particular student's violent tendency was he once saw him in a hallway put a hold or throw another student to the floor. And that's his basis for...
Right.
Now, whether this is horseplay or not between...
You have no idea whether it's horseplay or not.
I don't.
Well, except you just said a second ago that there wasn't, right? That there wasn't anything wrong.
Well, I'm saying
you're contradicting yourself. You have subjective and objective, and you said subjective irrelevant. Then you said the test was subjective plus objective.
I think the subjectiveness comes in.
But you said it wasn't a subjective test. Now you're bringing subjectivity in. You're contradicting yourself. You don't have a...
Judge, I have to confess. I'm a little confused because I'm thinking...
You are confused. You don't know what your position is. That's confusion.
Well, the content of the speech itself should be, is this or is it not protected under the First Amendment? Does it raise social, political, or other concerns to the public?
Well, I think it does. I mean, I think violence in schools is serious. This kid seems to be out of control.
I would agree 100%.
I think he's entitled to be anxious about it, but also to think it's a problem for the class, for the school, for teaching. And these parents who seem to throw their weight around and intimidate the administration of the school, these are all things that are of, I would think, profound public interest.
Judge, I would agree with you that violence in the schools is a matter of great public concern. There was no violence here.
Well, this is a statement made in the presence of other young kids who are impressionable and is suggestive of that this behavior is appropriate. So
I'm not suggesting it was appropriate at all, Judge. I'm just saying that
it's not just a comment made to the teacher quietly in the hallway passing. It's done as a demonstration in front of other kids. That makes it even more dangerous.
Mr. Barisha, let me ask you, how would this case be different if Mr. Geschwint had signed the complaint and posted on the Internet the equivalent of a press release later that day saying, I was the subject of a threat by this student, and I've asked the police to step in because I think violence is a serious problem. Names the boy in the press release. Would the case be different? That would be pretty clearly a statement of public concern, right?
I think it would if that were.
Okay. Do you think we want the law of the First Amendment here to, in essence, encourage the teacher who files the criminal complaint about a juvenile where there are legitimate privacy interests to enhance his legal position because his supervisors are unhappy by issuing that press release?
No, I don't think it should.
I don't think so either.
I don't think so at all.
Am I correct that you don't argue, you know, you don't make a Pickering argument that even if the employee's speech is protected by the First Amendment, you know, their countervailing interests of the school?
That's correct, Judge. We never raised that in the district court.
Or that it's a statement made as part of his duties under Garcetti, that making such reports is part of the police, part of the teacher's duty.
We did not make that argument either, Judge. I just want to emphasize that as far as the violence, Judge, there was no violence here. Was this a wrong-headed, ignorant thing for even a 12 or 13-year-old sixth grade student to get up and say, sure. But it's a matter of, and there's no evidence of violence or threat of violence to Mr. Geschwint.
When I was in the sixth grade, that student would have been expelled so quickly.
But that was
before you had these parents who harass public school authorities, or private school for that matter, to protect their little precious.
I'm sorry, Judge, is there a question?
Oh.
Well, Your Honor, I think looking at the content of the speech, it's not protected. It doesn't seek to inform the public of any malfeasance, wrongdoing, or corruption by any school official, officer, administrator, or the district itself.
How about just nonfeasance? Just the failure to address this kind of behavior?
Well, if that were the case, it's not alleged in the plaintiff's complaint. Could nonfeasance rise to a matter of public concern under some circumstances? I think it could.
You bet.
I think it could. But here, as Judge Posner pointed out, if this was such an outrageous threat, a threat of violence in the school, why didn't Mr. Geschwind ask that this student be expelled? And as far as the form the form of the speech, it's a juvenile complaint. It could never be a matter.
As Judge Hamilton made the point, you're really asking him to escalate in order to protect his job, right? Go public, right?
To escalate by going public. That he protects himself. He protects himself in his job by going public, under your theory.
Well, I'm saying that would be one factor to look at as to whether the speech is protected. That would be a different form of the speech. Right. And as far as the context, Judge, this is internal school discipline. Again, it's not a matter of threat of violence.
How is a complaint to the police an internal school communication?
Because at the moment that this happened, Mr. Gishwin said, I'm in fear for my safety. Whether that's a legitimate fear or not, he sends the student to the office.
About January 10th, complaint to the police. How is that an internal school communication?
I'm saying that the complaint itself is not, but this involves a matter of what is misconduct in the school by a single student.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Sriracha. Mr. Gershwin, do you have anything further?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, sure.
Thank you very much, Your Honor. With respect to the Garcetti issue and a duty to report, paragraph 18 of the defendant's statement of uncontested facts, they do admit that.
I think that's what you're doing. They don't argue Garcetti. No, they don't.
And Mr. Shields, during the meeting, said that I did not have to sign the complaint, and that is in their statement of uncontested facts. So there was no duty. Now, Mr. Shields said that. Principal Hyden was also in the room and did not say anything to contradict Mr. Shields' statement that I did not have to sign the complaint. So there was no duty as a school teacher to sign the complaint.
I think it's you causing the static, not the computer.
Yes, that pro se guy is always a pain. one other thing, as far as a basis for the threat, the facts that we have, which are in the request to admit, the older brother had previously attacked defendant Shields in his office. Now, what happened on December 15th, which was prior to the song being sung, I had a parent-teacher conference with the student's parents. During that parent-teacher conference, the father said that the older brother should have attacked me instead of Mr. Shields. Then we have on the 21st, not a week later, the student sings about stabbing me. So I think there was certain, sufficient basis for that. Also, and this is in the record also, when defendant Hyden spoke with the parents about the song, she said that the parents didn't care either way, that didn't seem to care either way whether it had occurred. Now, just to close here, with respect to the public concern is a matter of concern to the community, and it would be my position that a student singing a song about stabbing his teacher in front of class, during class, in front of the entire class, is of concern to the community. And I have nothing else.
Thank you, Mr. You don't have legal training, do you, Mr. Bushman?
No, Your Honor, I do not.
But you did a very good job. So.
Well, thank you very much, Your Honor. I appreciate it.
And we thank Mr. Barasha as well. Okay, our next case for argument, United States versus Wooten.